Blog Talk Radio.
Say hi to spring's most amazing style steal at Old Navy. One day only, today. Women's tanks are just $2. And don't forget to come in now to redeem your super cash. Hurry in. High fashion, Old Navy. Valid 4/29, limit 5 per customer. Select styles in stores only.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Insight into Healing. My name is Alexa Servo-Didio, and I am your host. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Remember, Insight into Healing airs Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. Please check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/insightintohealing. Please send any questions or guest updates to insightintohealing@gmail.com. And check out my book, Finding Your Peace Within the Chaos, at ccbpublishing.com, aservodidio.html. And for an autographed copy, send an email to insightintohealing@gmail.com. Well, tonight I have such an incredible show. On the line, I have Peggy Sarlin. Peggy Sarlin is a singer, songwriter in New York, who's written for Bette Midler, Patti LuPone, and Disney. She's also the author and host of Awakening for Alzheimer's, a book and video series that's received 1 million online views last year. Awakening from Alzheimer's will be shown again on September 21st, 2017, World Alzheimer's Day. She takes a personal interest in brain research and caregiving. Peggy, welcome to Insight into Healing. I'm just so excited to have you on the show this evening.
Oh, thank you, Alexa. I'm very happy to be here.
And again, you are so multi-talented, so multifaceted. Let's start with your singing and your songwriting. How did that all come about?
Well, I started out my career when, you know, as a very young person, as a singer and a songwriter, and put my heart and soul into that, and I actually had some success. I was signed to a major label, and I had a big-name manager, and I wrote a song that Bette Midler and eventually covered, and Patti LuPone. And then I decided that life was just a little bit too crazy, and I wanted to focus on my writing, raising a family, just being a writer. So I've been a writer for many years, and I'll tell you the story. What happened with music is kind of a spontaneous combustion into song recently. As we'll talk about when I mentioned that I take a personal interest in brain research and caregiving, what happened was on November 16th, 2012, my husband had a massive stroke. And my whole world turned upside down, as anybody who's had a situation like that in their family knows all too well. And I, about 2 years into the situation with my husband, I went out for a walk. It was July 5th, 2014, but who's counting? That's how I look at it. I went out for a walk. And I was so exhausted from my caregiving duties. And I know anybody who's listening who has experienced or is experiencing that level of responsibility of caregiving, you know that kind of just even you're the marrow of your bones feels exhausted. It's just an exhaustion level you didn't even know existed before you're forced to experience it. And I went out for a walk, and I was just so exhausted. I was afraid I was going to faint on the sidewalk. So I said to myself, you know, keep yourself going, keep walking, sing. Just sing. That's how you'll keep going. And I opened my mouth, and a new song came out. I just, in real time, as I walked down Broadway, I wrote a song. Just every line came, a new line came with every step. It was just a stunning experience. I hadn't written a song in years and years and years. suddenly I had this song. And then the next day I had a new song. And the day after that I had a new song. Suddenly they were just coming and coming and coming because all this emotional turmoil, I had so much I needed to express. And that emotion that you're feeling, it needs to go somewhere. You got to do something with it. It's healthy to let it out and to express it in some kind of a constructive way. And that's what happened to me. It hasn't stopped. The songs are just coming and coming and coming. So suddenly I was back in music. I had the good fortune to find a wonderful pianist, Jeff Franzel, and we recorded an album called Friends and Family, all my original songs that in some way or another deal with what I'm going through. Maybe just some of them are very happy because they're memories or they're fantasies about how things may be in the future, but they're all coming from my heart. And we've been recording. We just and playing. We just performed a few days ago at the Metropolitan Room in New York. So that's a long answer to a short question.
Yes. Well, I think it's so powerful, your answer, and I think it's also so inspirational for those listeners and for those around. How, you know, one at working as a caregiver. I mean, that just brings up a whole other topic of the power, the distress, the love, the pain, the whole layers of being a caregiver, and also self-care for the caregiver, and then turning a negative into a positive, but also in the entertainment industry to be able to use that pain and being able to be so vulnerable and open and transparent to your listeners, to your viewers, to anyone who's around. I think that's what people need. That's what people want, because that's really everyone at some point in their life can touch that core feeling and say, okay, I can identify with that pain to some degree. And that's what really keeps people connected and hopeful.
I agree with you, Alexa. You know, we all can find ourselves in a caregiving role. I mean, sometimes if we're parents, we're caregiving in this very joyous way that brings us tremendous energy. But if we're thrust into another role of caring for somebody, you know, a spouse, a parent, a friend, a sibling, that can be very draining. That it's not that there isn't joy in that, because I think there is. I think whenever you're in a powerful emotional relationship with somebody else where you're trying to do your best, there is a lot of joy in that. There's a kind of painful joy, a joyful pain, you know, all the complexities of that relationship, which is why I have a never-ending source of new songs. I never run out of things to talk about because there's so many aspects to that relationship.
Yes, yes. My mother took care of my father for a long time before he passed from lung cancer, and she was his primary caregiver. And it was a very tough role, but I don't think she would have had it any other way. It was almost what she wanted to do. It was her passion, and it was draining, but wow, did she do an amazing job and really made a difference in my dad's life.
Well, it's a way to show love, you know, and sometimes I would wake up and, you know, just kind of look at this day that was going to be unfolding in front of me, and I would say, well, what am I going to, you know, what's today? Well, today's a day I get to show love, so today's going to be a good day. Today I get to show love. And I always try to find the positive way of looking at things, that it's not merely the drudgery of a task, you know, or the anxiety of the task, or perhaps sometimes the feeling of the hopelessness of the task, but I always try to, I guess, ennoble it might be a word, with the fact I'm giving love, I'm receiving love, I'm showing love to other people around me, I'm showing what love looks like, I'm seeing how other people show love, and that. What could be more important than that? I always try to frame things that way in my own mind just to keep myself going.
Yes. And I think it really brings up an important topic. In my private practice, you know, I work with a lot of clients who have a lot of trauma, loss, and abuse. And you know, they come from a really vulnerable, realistic part that says, I can't fight this anymore. I don't want to find the positive. Only certain people can find the positive. Why, Alexa, why? How do you know it works to find the positive? Why? I don't have the strength to find the positive. I just don't think I can do it if it keeps on happening. Was there a turning point in your life that maybe you were at like, oh, how am I going to get through this? I don't know if I have it. And then something just said, I've got to keep on moving.
Yeah, there have been a lot of turning points like that. You know, I want to mention one of the songs, the title song on my album, which is called Friends and Family. And actually, if you go to my website, PeggySarlin.com, my last name is spelled S-A-R-L-I-N, you can hear my album and you can learn more about my story. But I wanted to write that song, Friends and Family, the title song, to express gratitude to friends and family who come through for you. It's such a powerful experience to humbled, I suppose, because when illness or, you know, whatever it is, and it could be an accident, any kind of thing that suddenly propels you into this pit that you didn't expect to be in. And when you experience the love and caring and connection with people, sometimes people you don't even know very well, sometimes people who just are in your community, who hear about you, who just are driven to show some kind of love for you, even if they don't know you very well. It's just one of the most powerful experiences, and feeling the gratitude to other people is something that I wanted to express, and something that I want to always remember to show to other people who are going through tough times. I think that's one of the most important lessons. Lesson is a small word compared to what it actually is that I'm getting out of this experience, is trying to really notice when other people are going through hard times and trying to be responsive to them in whatever way I can be. You know, even in a practical way, can I send you food? You're coming home from the hospital. Let me send you some food. What do you like to eat? You know, just simple things, a card, a phone call, a hug, just to convey to people who are feeling so profoundly, scarily alone that they're not so alone. Yeah. That's truly a crucial thing I've learned.
Yes, and it's so powerful. And I think when you see the real beauty in people, even if it's someone you don't know, because I've seen a lot of that with some of my own personal issues with, you know, cancer in my family, cancer with my pet, and people who just I have never met, the connection and the love that they have sent to me has really helped me kind of go to the day by day through these things to kind of say, you know, there's someone who's supportive or just says, hey, I'm thinking about you today. I know it's going to be a tough day. And to be able to receive that, but then to be able to give that to someone in their time of need is a blessing. I can't explain it unless you've actually gone through it. I say that's what life is all about. That just really brings the beauty to who people are and what our life on this earth is supposed to be about.
Well, I wrote a song to try to express just exactly what you just said so beautifully, a song called Something Worth Fighting For. And I just sang it for the first time at the Metropolitan Room. It was filmed, and I'll be putting the video of it up on Facebook. And you can ask to be my friend on Facebook if you're listening to this. As I said, find me, Peggy Sarlin, and you can like my page. I also, I'm on Twitter. At the moment, my Twitter account is dedicated to news about brain research, because the other aspect of this, Alexa, is that I've written a book about Alzheimer's, and I have produced video series of my in-depth interviews with 14 leading brain experts on the subject of Alzheimer's. It's you can find the book. It's on Amazon, awakeningfromalzheimers.com, and maybe we can talk about that a little bit if you like.
Oh, I would love to. That is so incredible, and I've been getting so many questions from my listeners about this topic, so this is a gift in itself for to be able to discuss this with you.
Well, I think my publisher, Lee Euler, asked me back in 2012 to look into Alzheimer's. His mother had it. And it's, if you know from your own family experience, it's the medical establishment treats it as hopeless, and that was the experience he had. And he said to me, is it really hopeless? Can you look into this? Is there something people are missing? And I started to look into it, and I was, as I began looking, you know, doing a lot of research online, looking at doctors who are, call themselves, they're in functional medicine, they're in integrative medicine, holistic, complementary, alternative. They might call themselves by different names, neurologists, internists, different specialties. But they had an approach that was not saying we throw up our hands, take the standard prescription drugs, and that's it. Sorry. No, not at all. They were in there fighting. They were in the trenches. And they were getting really, in many cases, remarkable results. So I wrote those findings in a book called Awakening from Alzheimer's that was published in 2012. Last year, 2016, I updated it, I expanded it, and I went around and I interviewed 14 experts. And those video series were shown online for a period of 10 days, starting on World Alzheimer's Day, September 21st. And there were a million views because this information is so valuable. The first episode you can always see. It's online forever. Let's see, where is it? How could you find that? Awakeningfromalzheimers.com. You can watch the first episode, and they all will be repeated on September 21st. So basically, there's a lot to say about it, obviously, because, you know, I had about 14 hours of saying things about it. Actually, 16 hours. But the most important message is not to give up. There is, in fact, a great deal that you can do. And one of the messages that you can take is very often things that are diagnosed as Alzheimer's are not Alzheimer's. That's one of the most common things that happens. You know, you come in with somebody you love and say, oh, you know, my husband or my mother or whatever is getting kind of confused. And, oh, it's Alzheimer's here. Take this prescription drug. Well, it isn't Alzheimer's. Very, very, very common thing. Alzheimer's is actually, at this point, not absolutely definitively diagnosed till after death with an autopsy. So we at the moment do not have a definitive diagnosis. We're getting closer, but we're not there yet. So to make that definitive diagnosis, especially on a very quick basis of just that kind of conversation, grandma's confused, oh, give her this drug for Alzheimer's. It's not the way to go. It needs a more in-depth look. For instance, a very common cause of, let's say, confusion that comes across as dementia is simply medications. Medications can cause dementia, and the mixture of medications can cause dementia, yes, because older people are often on a lot of medications, and they may interact in a way that can cause these kind of symptoms. So that's a very important thing to look at. Sleep deprivation. You know, somebody's has sleep apnea or other very common sleep problems. Well, when you're deprived of sleep, of a really good, rich sleep that goes, you know, very successfully through the four phases of sleep over the course of a good 8-hour period, you know, if you're not getting that kind of sleep on a regular basis, it may show up as dementia, memory loss, confusion. But it's not really Alzheimer's. It's not something you need to take that prescription medication for. It's a sleep problem. And
yes, I mean, could you imagine coming in for an appointment with a doctor, coming out saying, oh, this is a diagnosis, and being on this medication without really having a lot of explanation, a lot of exploration? Because I've also found with the growing population of elderly women that a lot of times, too, they diagnose with dementia, Alzheimer's, delusional, is really a UTI that hasn't been treated, that they become, you know, they can't remember, memory loss, they have problems getting out of bed, they're fainting, they're, you know, the thinking is a little delusional, and they're diagnosed with all these different things when really it's just a urinary infection that had not been treated. And I think people really need to make sure they're their own advocate, or if it's a loved one, make sure you're an advocate for your loved one.
You know, I'm so glad you mentioned that. We talk about that in the series. Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum is one of the people that I interview, and he makes that point exactly that you made. One of the big underlying causes of something that presents as dementia is underlying infections. It could be a number of infections. It could be what you mentioned, UTI. It could be Lyme disease. Lyme disease, which is, you know, an epidemic and which can have powerful cognitive effects. There can be sinus infections. There can be mold, you know, other biotoxins. There can be underlying infections. And I should mention that sometimes the way people eat doesn't help their cognitive powers either. We've been told a lot of dietary advice that only now is coming out. Gee, what those experts were telling us is actually exactly wrong. How about that? For instance, telling us to avoid fats. You know, the brain is made primarily of fat. The brain is 70% fat. And we need fat to function on a high cognitive level. When we deprive our brain of fats because the experts have told us, oh, don't eat fats, you know, we're actually depriving our brains of the fuel that we need. So actually, one thing that we can, maybe your listeners might want to know is using coconut oil on a regular basis is just one of the absolute best things you can do for your brain, and one of the best things you can do for somebody you love who is experiencing cognitive problems is give them throughout the day coconut oil. Start slowly, start with a teaspoon just so they can adjust, but build up to 2 or 3 teaspoons or maybe even more of coconut oil, because it contains ketones that are an alternative source of fuel for the brain that are fabulous for the brain to access. It's just putting gas in your tank. That's what it is. So that's a simple takeaway. If you're feeling a little less sharp than you, I actually every morning, I have a cup of coffee with coconut oil and butter in it, grass fed butter in my coffee, and that's how I start my day, and that keeps me going for hours.
Yes. Yes, and I think it's so important that you have to feed yourself physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, verbally. It has to be all well-rounded, and I think diet, lack of sleep, people think it's so basic, but it really, really makes a difference, and people have to make sure they check into every area of their life and really self-care and take care of themselves.
That's really the essence of it, you know, is exactly what you said. It's every aspect. You have to eat right. You have to sleep right. You have to give yourself that positive. I'm constantly giving myself positive talk because I continue, you know, with my husband to face some extremely challenging circumstances here. Things are not easy. Things can get very tough, and I'm constantly doing positive, even out loud to myself, you know, I'm proud of you, Peggy. I'm proud of the way you did that. I'm proud of the way you're handling this. You're going to get through it. You know what? This is tough, but you've been through past things that are tough. You got through them, so you're going to figure out a way through this one, too. That's right. You're going to do it. You know, I'm constantly talking to myself like that to get myself out of the hole. You can't let yourself get in the hole. You know, and Alexa, I really, it's not fashionable to say it, but I do want to say I pray. I mean, it's not a contemporary thing. We don't say it, and we don't. But every morning I start with prayer. And you know, there is always another place we can go, even when we feel that we're at the bottom. There is always a place we can go into, the place of prayer. And I think I always feel better after I pray, and then just collectively over the days I feel better as I pray. I don't want to feel I'm in this fight alone. It's too lonely. It's too tough.
Absolutely.
I don't want to feel alone. Even if you don't believe, why not try praying so that you're not alone, so that you don't feel alone? It's okay. You don't have to believe, but pray anyway, just so there's a friend there for you, so you're not alone.
Yes. Yes. I mean, I agree. I very, very spiritual, believe, have a very strong faith in God, and I pray every morning when I get up. And I pray every morning before I go to bed. I listen to spiritual music, Joel Osteen, things I feed myself during the day, listening to that, because I think you have to have that surrounding. And I find so much sometimes, you know, sometimes you don't have all the answers. I go into a situation, I'm like, I don't know what to do, but I lift it up to God and say, you know what, God, I have faith, and just please carry me through this day. I'm going to do the best I can, and let me, you know, honor you. And you know what? Sometimes you don't get immediate results, but a couple of days later you're like, wow, okay, there's something's kind of shifted, and it's God. And I think, you know, try it. It doesn't mean you totally have to believe, but what do you have to lose? And I always say you might be pleasantly surprised. And I think also surrounding yourself with your type of music and that type of healing and reinforcement, and, you know, that's, you have to surround yourself with a team to really help you get through the day, to help you, you know, stay on your path.
I'm glad you brought it back to music. People who listen to my music tell me that it helps them. People have written to me that it gets them through hard times, that they had it loaded, you know, on their phone before going into surgery or coming out of surgery, that it's helped them. If there's something about music that is magic, and so I'm very glad that you brought it back to that. It's magic for me to do it. It's magic for me to listen to music. It's magic for me to share it with other people. It's a profound connection. Music is rooted very deep in our brain, and, as you know, bringing it back to Alzheimer's, even brains that are, you know, unfortunately very far along in the process of Alzheimer's still retain music. You know, they still retain,
yeah.
People still remember the songs from childhood. Music is so spiritually wired, so deep within us, that it's a resource that we shouldn't overlook. And again, if you go to PeggySarlin.com, you can hear my first album. I'm midway through another one, but maybe you'll find some songs there that will help you.
I can't wait. I mean, we're at the end of the show, and I just wanted to tell you thank you again for all that you do and for being such a blessing in what you do and helping other people. And it's just amazing, and I cannot wait to listen to more of your music.
Thank you, Alexa. Thank you for what you do. And I think the most valuable thing we can do is value our own lives, that we want to take care of ourselves, lift ourselves up to a higher level from wherever we are, and then to share that with other people. That's, what else can we do? You know,
yes.
What else?
Yes,
are we,
amen.
Here?
Thank you. Thank you.
Well,
and again, I wanted to thank every, yes. And I'd also like to thank all my listeners tonight. Thank you so much for tuning in. Remember, Insight into Healing airs Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Everyone, have a good night, and God bless.
Thank you, Alexa.
Say hi to spring's most amazing style steal at Old Navy. One day only, today. Women's tanks are just $2. And don't forget to come in now to redeem your super cash. Hurry in.